Welcome back everyone to Campfire Tales. Tonight's video is about a Boy Scout turned park ranger who encounters something through the woods when he's taking a shortcut on his way home from school. And here is his story. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing, clicking on that bell, and smashing that thumbs up and telling a friend. Now let's get spooky. To whoever finds this, I don't quite know what to call this. I don't even know what to make of this whole situation. It's almost paradoxical. I'm a shambolic mess without a glass in my hand. But the alcohol dulls my mind enough for me to construct adequate sentences to relay what I need to. I had been sober nearly 10 years before I slipped back into the bottle that I now cling for some semblance of sanity. What was once a major problem in my life is now the only thing giving me courage to get through this. Regardless of what happens to me, at the very least, I can say I did my best to prevent any further incidents and casualties. If you're reading this, I'm sure you've alerted the appropriate authorities upon seeing what I could only imagine will resemble the set of an 80s slasher film. What I'm sure will be bits and pieces of flesh strewn across the cabin is me. A positive ID will undoubtedly be next to impossible, due to the fact that there won't be much left to identify. So yes, the blood and guts are what remains of Alex Sherman, the park ranger of these very woods for the last 20 odd years. The woods that I devoted my life to preserving and protecting, becoming one with nature, and ensuring the countless families and explorers were safe and always returned home. Although now, I know I cannot protect anyone. I am unable to protect myself. Let me start from the beginning. And hopefully throughout my encounters, you, whoever finds this, can make sense of it and find a way to stop it. But first, let me fill my glass again. Time is not on my side, so I would like to get my fill while I can. My father grew up in a family that wasn't blessed with an abundance of money or resources, and so he had become his own man. He made a name for himself and worked his way up the corporate ladder to a point that he was now financially comfortable. Providing a loving and comfortable home for his family, my father had the tendency to live through my brother and I. He always told us stories of how, when growing up, he would watch the other kids participating in karate classes, music lessons, and the Boy Scouts. So you guessed it. We became virtual projects for dear old dad as he enrolled us in these classes and pushed us to excel in them. The karate and music never held my interest much, but the feeling of being a Boy Scout was something I immediately took a shining to. Being out in nature, the clean and fresh air, catching fish and cooking them by ourselves was the most rewarding and fulfilling experience. Any possible outing with the scout group, you just knew I would be waiting eagerly at the crack of dawn, bags packed and ready to go on whatever excursion was planned. My brother, Georgie, 3 years my junior, did not share my interest in the outdoors. He was gifted with the incredible ability to pick up any musical instrument and learn how to play it with an almost impossible speed. From the tender age of 10, when I first joined the Boy Scouts, I would grow more and more confident in my ability to not only survive, but thrive in the great outdoors. By 16, the Boy Scouts was all I could think about. School was just a mini part of life that unfortunately I had to endure. The upside, as there is always a silver lining, is that I get to walk home after school, due to my decision to not undertake any after-school activities, I had the opportunity to be in the world that I loved ever so much and every day as I walked home. I had my first run-in with a true barbaric side of nature on one of these excitable walks home as I neared my 17th birthday. We lived in a fairly rural town. Old colonial buildings accounted for most of the architecture. I guess people don't have the funds to develop the land much further, or simply didn't see the point in doing so. The lack of progression gave the impression that our lovely little town was almost frozen in time. The nature was undisturbed and grew freely. People saw no reason to cut down trees and demolish the incredible woods and forests that populated our town. As much as I loved the ease of access to the woods, wandering deeper into nature, the thickets of the forest was truly breathtaking. The immense tree coverage made it virtually impossible to distinguish between night and day. It was seemingly a world of its own. It was my voyage deep into the forest that I stumbled upon it. A deer head laid in a pool of blood, not far off the path which I would walk on. I knew of the food chain, and the fact that animals do of course eat each other, but this felt different. Over 6 years in the Boy Scouts gave me an idea of how wildlife can be. A head ripped off of a deer seemed out of the ordinary if it was to be made a meal of. This seemed to me like a kill for the sake of primary, just mutilating the animal. As disturbed as I was, I continued down the path. A strange courage washed over me, as I felt I had sufficient enough knowledge to evade or prevent being attacked myself. A little further down the path, I found one more the deer. One of its legs, torn off the body from a string of tendons visible, lay next to it intestines and other innards of the animal. Whatever had killed the deer seemed to be dropping pieces of it as it moved down the path. The smell of blood and death was something I had never experienced, and my courage soon left as I vomited my lunch into the bushes. Animal mutilation didn't seem possible with the few carnivorous creatures that hid in the depths of the forest. What creature would be vile enough to tear another animal limb from limb and spread pieces all over for some grotesque show? I soon had the answer as I heard the most inhuman sound pierce the quiet chirps and buzzing of the forest. It was a scream that sounded as if every tortured soul in the depths of hell shrieked all at the same time. Such was the volume and intensity that it was possible to estimate just how near or how far the sound came from. My blood froze and my knees gave out. I immediately felt wet as I realized the blood from the massacred deer had streamed all the way off the path to where I had vomited and promptly collapsed. The scream sounded again, and I could almost feel the sound. Whatever it was, felt close. The scream seemed to silence every other creature in the forest. Once the scream had finished, all I could hear was the immense thumping of my heart. A branch snapped from behind me, causing me to jolt up and turn. More branches snapped and my fight-or-flight response failed me. I stood frozen. A low growl came from the direction the branches snapped, and a low grunt and snarl then sounded. Silence followed. I stood, unsure if I should run or play dead and hope that the smell of the blood I fell into would give the impression it was mine. My ears rang and I felt deaf as the instant crack and explosion of a gun being fired rattled the forest. Tears streamed down my face as the fear of confusion overwhelmed me. Another shot was fired from an unknown location, but I could see tree bark flying from the projectiles piercing the thicket of trees where the branches had snapped. I lost count of the shots, but the distinct sound of branches snapping was clear that whatever was in the woods sounded as if it was now heading away from me, rather than approaching me from where the snarls were. I was pulled to my feet, and through the tears, I saw him. The park ranger stood before me, rifle slung over his shoulder, and looking around with purpose as I composed myself. He hurriedly pulled me along the path, back over the deer head to the cabin slightly off the path where he was based. After checking to make sure that I wasn't injured, he poured 2 cupfuls of whiskey and proceeded to drink his in its entirety in 1 gulp. Pouring another, he gestured for me to join him. The whiskey burnt as it went down, but the warmth it provided made me feel slightly more at ease. The ranger had downed about 4 cups by the time I had just finished one, but I asked for another and tried to drink it at the same manner he had. None of it seemed real, and as the ranger explained what little he knew of the creature, I felt as if I was dreaming. His name tag read Joel, and as Joel told me of the many animal mutilations, he brought out a scrapbook that was filled to the brim with sketches and Polaroid pictures. The creatures drawn by Joel terrified me. I dreamt of them for years after that first moment I saw them. The red eyes he detailed with artistic perfection seemed to come alive on the pages. The Polaroids were of many, many torn apart creatures. Guts and intestines draped over tree branches, stretched across the forest paths. Decapitated heads with lifeless eyes laying as stones would in the forest. There were dates written on the photos, which he explained to me that whatever this was seemed to live and function in a cycle. He had been a park ranger for 30 years. And in those 30 years, he had experienced 3 cycles of the creature. He had no clue where it came from or where it went, but it appeared like clockwork every 10 years. There was no known weakness of the creature, but high-caliber bullets seemed to hurt it at the very least. He said that he had tried to tell the police and neighboring authorities, but they laughed off the idea of a red-eyed demon slaying wildlife. He knew I believed him because I had heard it. He could see it in my face that it would forever stay with me. He told me that from his experience, the cycle was at its end. But he would walk me home and continue patrolling the woods until he knew for sure that the cycle had ended for now. He didn't seem fazed as to whether or not I would try to tell people about what had happened. He had tried for 30 years and was battling this all on his own. So clearly, being believed was not of any importance to him. His age showed, made worse by the oblivious horrors he had encountered and tried to fight all on his own for so long. I finished school the next year at 18 years of age and applied to be a park ranger, knowing that I had 9 years to prepare to learn from Joel as best as I could, to take up the mantle and protect the town from whatever this thing was. I hoped that the two of us as a team could do what Joel had been attempting alone for the last few decades. Joel tried his best to discourage me from joining his fight. It was almost as if he knew it was some impossible battle, and there was no possible positive outcome. When he saw my resolve and determination to help him, he welcomed me into the cabin with a Remington 700 rifle and a bottle of Jack Daniels. 2 staples to survive and stay sane in the forest alone, according to Joel.